colour," said the vampire. "Is that all? Colour is easy-peasy. How soon do you want it?"
"Can't be done," said Good Mountain firmly. "Oh, so you say. Is there somewhere here that makes coloured glass?"
"Yeah, I know the dwarf who runs the stained glass works in Feeder Road," said Good Mountain. "They do hundreds of shades, but I wish to see samples right now, and of inks, too. You can get coloured inks also?"
"That's easy," said the dwarf. "But you'd need hundreds of different ones, wouldn't you?"
"No, this is not so. I will make you a list of what I require. I cannot promise a burly and strong-in-the-arm job first cat out of the bag, of course. I mean, you should not ask me for the subtle play of light on autumn leaves or anything like that, but something with strong shades should be fine. This will be okay?"
"It'll be amazing."
"Thank you."
William stood up.
"And now," he said, "let's go and see the King of the Golden River." "I've always been puzzled why people call him that," said Saccharissa. "I mean, there's no river of gold around here, is there?"
"Gentlemen." Mr. Slant was waiting in the hall of the empty house. He stood up when the new firm entered and clutched his briefcase. He looked as if he was in an unusually bad temper.
"Where have you been?"
"Getting a bite, Mr. Slant. You didn't turn up this morning, and Mr. Tulip gets hungry."
"I told you to maintain a very low profile."
"Mr. Tulip isn't good at low profiles. Anyway, it all went off well, you must have heard. Oh, and we nearly got killed because you didn't tell us a whole lot of stuff. And that's going to cost you, but hey, who cares about us? What's the problem?" Mr. Slant glared at them.
"My time is valuable, Mr. Pin, so I will not spin this out. What did you do with a dog?"
"No one said anything to us about that dog," said Mr. Tulip,
and Mr. Pin knew he'd got the tone wrong.
"Ah, so you encountered the dog," said Mr. Slant. "Where is it?"
"Gone. Ran off. Bit our ing legs and ran off."
Mr. Slant sighed. It was like the wind from an ancient tomb.
"I did tell you that the watch has a werewolf on the staff," he said.
"Well, so what?" said Mr. Pin.
"A werewolf would have no difficulty in talking to a dog."
"What? You're telling us people will listen to a dog?" said Mr. Pin.
"Unfortunately, yes," said Mr. Slant. "A dog has got personality. Personality counts for a lot. And the legal precedents are clear. In the history of this city, gentlemen, we have put on trial at various times 7 pigs, a tribe of rats, 4 horses, 1 flea, and a swarm of bees. Last year, a parrot was allowed as a prosecution witness in a serious murder case, and I had to arrange a witness protection scheme for it. I believe it is now pretending to be a very large budgerigar a long way away."
Mr. Slant shook his head.
"Animals, alas, have their place in a court of law. There are all kinds of objections that could be made, but the point is, Mr. Pin, that Commander Vimes will build a case on it. He will start questioning people. He already knows things are not right, but he has to work within the bounds of proof and evidence, and he has neither. If he finds the dog, I think things will unravel."
"Slip him a few $1,000, said Mr. Pin. "That always works with watchmen."
"I believe that the last person who tried to bribe Vimes still doesn't have full use of one of his fingers," said Mr. Slant.
"We did everything you ing told us,"
shouted Mr. Tulip, pointing a sausage-thick finger. Mr. Slant looked him up and down as if seeing him for the first time.
"Kill the cook," he said. "How amusing. However, I understood that we were employing professionals."
Mr. Pin had seen this one coming, and once again caught Mr. Tulip's fist in mid-air, being momentarily lifted off his feet.
"The envelopes, Mr. Tulip," he sang. "This man knows things."
"Hard to know any ing thing when you're dead," snarled Mr. Tulip.
"Actually, the mind becomes crystal clear," said Mr. Slant.
He stood up, and Mr. Pin noticed how a zombie